is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'm your host, Paul Simmons, and I'm here with my co-host, Yoav Sasson.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of our program.
Yoav, on today's show, we're going to talk about an off-duty McDonald's manager that actually is accused of assaulting a mother of autistic twins. And then also, we're going to talk about issues with siblings and a great gluten-free, casein-free recipe, all coming up shortly on the program, so stay tuned.
Today's show is sponsored by Healthy Home Center, 706 State Route 15 South, number 110, Lake Hopatcong, New Jersey. That's Healthy Home Center. Stop in and say hello to our good friend Cosmos Kustalos for all your vitamin and supplement needs.
Yeah, if we got to talk about this story, there was an off-duty McDonald's manager that was accused of assaulting mother of autistic twins. I don't know if anybody saw the story on the news. Actually, if you go on the internet, you can actually watch the video. They actually have video of this woman, and actually, she was allegedly assaulting the mother of two twins. They don't have that actually on camera, but they show the whole altercation on how it started. But anyway, what happened? The police have issued warrants charging actually Mrs. Tiffany Allen, who's 25 years old, with simple battery and simple assault and disorderly conduct. That was last Friday. It's really an appalling situation. Mrs. Lewis said that she recounted what happened from the videotapes and the witness statements. Miss Jennifer Schwacker, who's the public speaker on autism, was getting ready to leave a McDonald's store. The address was 1291 Bells Ferry Road. She actually has 2 8-year-old twins, and they have a service dog. And what happened was, it was an off-duty manager at McDonald's who stopped in to say hello, I guess, to some of her friends and employees. And the family just left the play area. This happened to be a McDonald's with one of the playground areas. And Mrs. Schwanker was refilling her drink, and that's when Mrs. Allen actually confronted her. Okay. She says, "You can't have a dog in a restaurant," Mrs. Allen told her. And she said, "The dog is a service dog, and it's okay for him to be inside." Mrs. Schwanker said she offered to show the woman the permit for the dog. She actually had a legalized permit. And she goes, "I'm the manager, and the dog can't be here. Are your kids blind?" It's like, wow. You know, that's pretty...
Talk about ignorance.
Yeah. So, you know, the manager continued to harass this poor woman and even followed her when she went into the restroom and then back in the lobby. And the thing is, this is all on the videotape because they have a surveillance camera in the store. So they have this on surveillance, and you can actually see this on the internet. It's pretty appalling. And then Mrs. Schwanker realized that one of her sons actually went missing during this whole... She got, I guess, so, you know, stressed out in this whole situation. And one of the boys, I guess, wandered off, and the dog, I guess, notified her, you know, when her son wandered off. And she panicked, and then she dropped her drink, which actually fell about 6 to 7 feet away from the woman. And you see this on a videotape, so it's not, she didn't throw the drink. And the woman ran out of the restaurant, you know, and what happened was the cup hit the ground, splashes, and Miss Allen actually took as it was being directed at her, like, in other words, he threw a drink at her. And she ran out the restaurant after the lady. And, you know, Mrs. Schwenker was already imagining the worst because her son was missing at that point, and he has no sense of danger whatsoever, and he, you know, could obviously be run over by a car very easily in a parking lot. And the woman, you know, that she caught up, she was, the mother was frantic, and the other woman caught up with the mother and accused her of disrespecting her and actually slapped her in the face. And I was just like, wow, you know.
Where was everyone else? Were they just... had their head buried in the sand?
Yeah, it looked like nobody offered help at that moment at all. It was like everybody was just backed off, and this woman was just berating this poor woman with her twins. And what happened was finally Mrs. Allen, I guess she followed the woman, or she was trying to get at this woman again. But the employees actually restrained her halfway between the restroom and the outside door after she came back in. But so far, they said the officers have not been able to serve an arrest warrant on Mrs. Allen, the officers said. But the thing was, McDonald's actually did fire this woman. She was fired for her actions.
Absolutely.
So she no longer is working there, and they offered an apology, McDonald's and all that, obviously. But, you know, the worst part, she wasn't even on the clock. She wasn't even working at the time.
Right.
So it wasn't like she was on duty. So McDonald's really has no, you know, responsibility here, you know, because she was off duty. She was just there. And
I think it's definitely a public issue, and the police should take the proper action. And she should be fined, if not, you know, some kind of punishment for her actions. I mean, it's assault.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just run up and slap someone in the face, you know. And it clearly showed, if you watch the video, we can actually you can pull it up and watch it now if you wanted to. We can look at it, and you see the drink, the beverage actually falls and hits the floor. And it hit her, like, I think a little bit, because it splashed. It was a full drink of soda. But, I mean, this poor woman lost her son at the moment. She has the dog.
She doesn't need a service dog. She needs an attack dog at that moment.
I mean,
it's really a shame that people are so ignorant. I mean, can't you assess the situation? Do you think the woman was actually throwing soda at you? Or she's lying about her dog?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, the thing is, it's a family service dog. The dog's name was Barkley, actually. And just a really nice, sweet dog. But, you know, maybe they should add a pit bull or something, you know. Attack dog, like you said.
I think, again, it's a lack of education where people, they can't even dream of the scenario that maybe they do need a service dog or their children do have a need. So it's just, I can't believe it. And
It's just sad, you know. It's just, there's a lot
pitiful.
Of, unfortunately, there's some really inconsiderate, jerky people out there, you know. I mean, let's just face it. And that's just, unfortunately, part of the world sometimes that we live in. We have some people that are just really ignorant and just very disrespectful and just don't care about anybody
else. I think that's
where
education needs to come in. People have to be aware, and it needs to be more present in our public life that there are people out there that have special needs.
No, absolutely. So we'll follow up on the story to find out, you know, what happens with the rest of the story. But right now she is fired from McDonald's and, you know, she's could be facing assault. So we'll follow up with the story. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some issues with siblings. I'm actually going to use my daughter and my son as an example here. You know, obviously my daughter, you know, I do a lot of thinking about, you know, what having an autistic, you know, brother means to, like, my daughter, you know. And my daughter and my son, Jonathan, who's now 8, sometimes they're best of friends, and sometimes they act like, you know, they want to kill each other, you know, when he might do something to her stuff or destroy something of hers, or, you know, she might tell him to not do something, and he will lunge at and go at her, you know. So, you know, I don't know, you know, that the coming years will bring, you know, what kind of extra challenges to a relationship as they get older, because right now they're fairly close age, only 2 years apart. You know, she told someone once at Brownies, she says, you know, I have a brother with autism, you know, and she was explaining to her that, you know, how he acts and, you know, he's definitely different from the rest, you know, and some people, you know, most girls 9 years old don't know what autism is at that moment. So she kind of explains it to them, and it made complete sense to her friend in Brownies. And, you know, her friend asked her how it was to grow up with an autistic brother. And, you know, I think, you know, I was hoping that she would, you know, obviously tell the girl that, you know, brought extra meaning to her life, or that it, you know, had taught her to appreciate differences, or that she had learned something important from him, which she did. And, you know, I was very proud and happy to hear that. But she, you know, she also said that she thought about it a little bit more also after she said that. And she said, you know, it's very hard, you know, and sometimes it could be a little bit embarrassing also. You know, and I could see that, you know, definitely. But, you know, that's tough to hear. I mean, even though she was being honest, it's still, you know, a difficult thing to hear. But, you know, Jonathan's 8 years old, and he's still very young enough so that, you know, most of the differences, you know, haven't yet been embarrassing to his sister. You know, but, you know, as Emily, you know, does get along very well with him, but I can't, you know, I mean, you know, right now he looks up to her and they play pretty nicely together, and, you know, they have a very close, you know, relationship, and also they're fairly close in age. But, you know, even with their compatibility, you know, she has really, you know, started to notice some of the differences and some of the sensory issues, you know, that she doesn't like, that he does. And, you know, and, you know, I just noticed this recently. You know, she makes some comments about some of the screams and some of the humming noises he makes when we're out in public. We went out to dinner the other night, Saturday night, actually, and he started to make noises and shout, and some people were looking at her table and stuff like that. And, you know, she was telling Jonathan, be quiet, you know, so she was like, she was, I guess, reacting to the situation. So I just decided to walk him out of the restaurant for a few minutes and then bring him back, and he calmed right down. So he was fine. But, you know, this is the easy part right now. And in a few years, you know, obviously Emily's peers, you know, might be looking for differences to tease and vulnerabilities to be a bully, possibly. You know, and she's obviously going to stick up for her brother, but, you know, obviously, you know, him having meltdowns and different things, it's not cool. You know, it's unfortunately, there's peers, there's a certain age group, and some kids can turn these challenges, you know, into leadership opportunities, but not everyone can do it or wants to. So I have a feeling my daughter will do very well and turning into an opportunity to be a leader and to teach other children what this is all about. But I must say that, you know, they are best friends, and, you know, I have the greatest hope that Jonathan will grow up, hopefully to be independent and be able to live the life he wants, but also know that no matter what, you know, he will need some kind of a support system, whether it's going to be a support to be a physical caretaker or an emotional or practical advice as to how, you know, typical people see things, he will need some kind of help. And my daughter's definitely has given him many gifts, and I believe that, you know, he has given the same gifts to her as well, and provided, you know, benefits, you know, specific to his autism, and she is definitely a role model for how to navigate a typical world, you know, to break the ice with other children and help pave the way for her and him at school. You know, however, I also hope that Jonathan, you know, has gave her some of the same gifts that, you know, parenting him has given to me. Like, you know, Jonathan has given me gifts of compassion, understanding, and acceptance of all kinds of people. His presence in my life has given me entry to the amazing world of special needs and disabled people. And much as being a parent in general has really opened my eyes to the magic of watching, you know, my children grow into their own beings. Being with autism has helped me really discover a whole new world that I never saw before. And one of the reasons I started this program as well. And I hope that even if it doesn't happen soon, that someday, you know, Jonathan's sister will figure out the same thing. And I hope, you know, she will realize how special and lucky, you know, she has been growing up around, you know, all kinds of people, and she can have her own valuable perspective to offer. And my entire goal with my son and daughter is to help them form a strong, lifelong bond that will evolve through all the stages of life. And I hope that one day, if someone else asked my daughter what it's like to grow up with an autistic brother, that she will be able to be honest and say that it's hard, but hopefully they will also have stories of joy that Jonathan has brought to her. So that's just a little thing about.
I think, unfortunately, we see more cases of autism, but on the other hand, it makes people more aware and kind of understand what it is. I remember when we were kids, it wouldn't be as common, But then again, we weren't taught anything or understanding of what it is when someone's different. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I think the education, and I think kids at a younger age are taught that, you know, not everyone is the same in the world. And so hopefully that's going to help people get along much better and understand each other more.
Absolutely, Alf. I couldn't agree with you more. It's very important that, you know, hopefully kids are not prejudiced and not judging other people. You know, that's right. That's the key.
I think a lot of the barriers that we had when we were kids have definitely been broken, which is a good thing, and moving in a positive light, in a positive direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely kids are more caring and look out for one another, but there's still, you know, bullying,
bullying goes on.
Yeah, bullying still goes on, and some kids will pick on the weak, you know, unfortunately. Right. And that will, you know, always unfortunately be there. But the more and more we can educate our children, you know, other parents, and go out there and
exactly.
teach your children the right way. You know,
I believe it has a lot to do with the upbringing and how you teach your kid and the values, and that, you know, you kind of give them the broad scope and view of the world, and not such a narrow-minded idea.
I mean, unfortunately, some parents shouldn't have been parents in raising kids. They figure kids are going to raise themselves, and it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So that's one of the faults of a lot of kids that you see out there that misbehave and have bad attitudes. And
also, I think, you know, the educational system is definitely brings up those issues more. I'm positive more than when we were kids, because unfortunately, it's more common now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're definitely right. It's definitely, you know, they have these anti-bullying laws, and they got a lot of their stuff. That they did not even have available to us when we were kids.
Right.
I mean, basically, you were on your own. You got picked on. You went to the teacher. Good luck. You know, the strong survive. And it was tough sometimes. You know, some of these kids, you know, got really, you know, abused in high school and junior high school and elementary school. And they really had nowhere else to turn. And they kind of just had to tough it out. And I'm sure those same children, if you had them in a room today and talk to them, I'm sure there's some mental issues there with them. I'm sure. So anyway, just hopefully that sheds some light out there for you, and something you can talk to your kids about.
Now it's time for another gluten-free, casein-free recipe from our favorite autism chef, Paul Simmons.
Thank you, Emily, for that great introduction, as always. I have a recipe sent in by Donna for a dairy-free banana rice pudding. The rice pudding is dairy-free, but the bananas and the rice and milk make it so creamy and rich-tasting that no one knows the difference. Now, obviously, if your child has a casein or dairy allergy or cannot have dairy, you can substitute rice milk for this recipe, which works very well as well. But this one is specifically for gluten-free. You can use a nice vanilla rice milk, actually. But she starts out with 1 cup of brown basmati rice, which is full of nutrients, a lot of B vitamins, which are very important for children on the spectrum, 2 cups of water, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3 cups of gluten-free vanilla rice milk, or you can use also whole milk if you wanted to. If your child, you know, has no problems with dairy, plus 1 tablespoon you can divide, 1/3 cup of light brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Obviously, you can have a little more cinnamon for the garnish on top of the rice pudding when you're finished. 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, which is your thickening agent. 4 ripe bananas, and then 1 teaspoon of organic vanilla extract. And what you're going to want to do is you can combine the rice, the water, and the salt in a medium saucepan. You're going to bring that to a boil. And you want to reduce the heat to low. You're going to cover. When you bring it to the boil, you're going to lower it, cover it. And then you're going to cook it until the liquid is fully absorbed. It's about 45 to 50 minutes for basmati rice. It takes a long time to cook. It's a very hard shell on this rice. And you're going to stir in the 3 cups of the rice milk, brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of the cinnamon, and bring it to a lively simmer. And then you're going to cook, stirring occasionally for 10 minutes. Okay, and then you're going to add this cornstarch and the remaining tablespoon of rice milk in a small bowl. Basically, you're going to make, they call this a slurry, actually, is the terminology in culinary world, which is taking either cornstarch and cold water But this one, actually, you're using cold rice milk in a small bowl, and you're going to make it smooth, and you add it to the pudding. And you can continue cooking this and stirring it often until the mixture is consistency of like porridge. And then in about 10 minutes, you're going to remove this from the heat. You know, make sure you have like a pot holder or something to put it on. You want to burn your counter. And then you're going to take two bananas. You're going to mash in a bowl. And then you're going to stir the mashed bananas into the vanilla and into the pudding. And then you're going to transfer it over to a large bowl. And you're going to take some plastic wrap on top. You're going to press the wrap directly on the surface of the pudding. And then you're going to refrigerate this until it's cold, at least 2 hours. And then obviously just before serving it, you can slice the remaining two bananas and top each serving with a few slices of a banana, and then sprinkle some cinnamon if you desire to. You know, there's some brands of rice milk may contain gluten, so you do need to be careful with that. There's a real good gluten-free brand that's Pacific Natural Foods or 365 Organic. These are great brands that that have no gluten in it. So, but that's really, really great. Thank you for sending that in. And please continue sending recipes in at questions@autismradio.org. That's questions@autismradio.org. And also feel free to use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. 1-877-HOPE-777. I also liked a little word for our listeners, just a little bit of a reading that I came across this week. We've all had seasons when challenges of life feel overwhelming, and during those times, it's easy to be tempted to talk about how bad things are. And maybe you've received a bad medical report, or maybe you're facing a financial obstacle. But the more you talk about something, the bigger it becomes in your mind. And instead, you need to really dig your heels in and say, no, I'm not going to give life to defeat. I'm not going to speak sickness over myself. I'm not going to speak lack. I'm not going to speak fear. I'm choosing a different report. I believe the report of God, which says, I am blessed, I am favored, I am prosperous, I am healthy, I am whole, I am a victor and not a victim. Remember, even when you don't see how things could ever work out, God does, and you speak to those mountains in your life and declare favor over situations. Instead of talking to God about how big your problems are, talk about to your problems about how big your God is. As you speak to mountains, they will be moved, and you'll be moved forward in victory, and God has prepared for you. And just a little bit of a reading this week. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for the continued support here on the program. Don't forget to go to autismradio.org and check out our events page for the Tough Half Triathlon, and our Vice President John Simmons, who leads the team in a 56-mile bike ride and a 1.2-mile swim and a 13.1-mile run. So be sure to please help support this great event. We're still looking for a couple of competitors. We have a couple slots open, and also looking for your donations to help a family in need. I'd like to thank everyone again, as always. And remember, until next time, hope saves the day. Good night, everybody.
We'd like to welcome our latest sponsor, Alka-V, to the program. Alka-V is a natural dietary mineral supplement that is proprietary composition of modified liquid silicate. Silica is an essential trace mineral known for bone and joint health, naturally produced within the body and believed to diminish as we age. The patented technology of Alka-V facilitates ways for cells to acquire balance within the body. Toxicity and skin corrosion tests confirm that Alka-V is safe. Alka-V is also water-soluble and easy to absorb. You can purchase Alka-V at TDP Global Health and Wellness. That's TDP Global Health and Wellness. Drop them an email and say hello to our good friend Tommy Ellison. Or you can go to www.alkav.com. That's www.alkav.com. That concludes our broadcast for this week. I'd like to thank all our wonderful sponsors for partnering with Hope Saves the Day. Of course, you, the listeners, for being dedicated each and every week and tuning in. You could always reach us at questions@autismradio.org. questions@autismradio.org. Or please feel free to call us with your personal stories, comments, or concerns. 877-HOPE-777. 877-HOPE-777. And as a final thought, I'd like to remind our listening audience,
Remember, responsibility does not only lie with the leaders of our countries or with those who have been appointed or elected to do a particular job. It lies with each one of us individually. Have a wonderful evening, be safe, and tune in next week for another edition of Hope Saves the Day.
See the world through my eyes. It changes shape and it changes size. It's not quite the world you see. If you could find a way to look around inside my mind, maybe you would understand me. I'm not blind, but I can always see. I'm not deaf, but things can sound strange to me. I'm not trapped, but it's hard to feel free. Imagine what it's like to be me. Imagine what it's like to be me. It's hard for me to try to think things through or talk like you. Everything can